Okay, simmer down. We have a baseball player graduating from the prospect list. Vaughn Anthony Grissom. Drafted in the 11th round of the 2019 Major League Baseball Amateur Draft from Paul J. Haggerty High School in Oviedo, Florida. Grissom hit 315 with a 402 OBP and a 465 slugging percentage in 227 minor league games. He socked 44 doubles and 24 home runs and stole 46 bases. Grissom was named a 2021 Organizational All-Star and was selected by Baseball America as the 2022 Braves Prospect of the Year. He graduates as the number one prospect on the OFR Top Prospect list. So put your hands together one final time for Vaughn Grissom.
Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the OFR Farm Report. With me, as always, my co-host, Matt Kritzberg. Hey, Matt, how you going?
Things are going pretty well right now, because as we're recording this, the Braves currently lead the Nationals 8-0, and Bryce Elder is pitching quite the ball game.
Yeah, he's through seven innings now. He has, what 85 pitches? Is that what you said?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, so decent shot, maybe at a complete game, but also 8-0. Maybe we see Alan Rangel's major league debut in the ninth or something.
Yeah, because he's not going to be on this roster a whole lot longer, like maybe a matter of hours, because Kyle Muller, they've already said he had announced him as a starter for tomorrow, and somebody has to go to make room for him. So I imagine Rangel's going to be the odd man out, but it would be nice for him to get his major league debut and get an inning out of him.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how the Braves, over the last 2 months, basically have almost a completely alternate rotation that they only use against crappy teams.
This Elder strategy, I mean, there's going to be studies done about this. Like, you call these guys up just to face the bottom feeders of the league. I mean, he basically all his starts have been against with the Marlins and the Nationals, and he's more than likely going to get another start next week against the Marlins again. So,
yeah, with Strider out, I think Elder's pretty much the fifth starter right now. So they're using Muller, you know, I guess, as the sixth starter. The question now, I guess, is will he pitch again in that Marlins series? Are they going to go Elder, Muller, Odorizzi to finish out the season against Miami? And I imagine that might be dependent on just how well the Mets series goes this weekend.
Yeah, and especially if they, I mean, of course, that whole series is going to might be a mess anyway, because you got a hurricane heading that direction. So they may end up having to move that series elsewhere, possibly. So it's going to be a very interesting next few days. But, yeah, that's going to be Elder. I mean, he's just been amazing here for the last couple of weeks, and he's definitely helped this rotation out, especially on the back end. And now with Spencer Strider being out for the remainder of the regular season, they are definitely taking advantage of getting these long starts out of him.
Yeah, speaking of hurricanes, my apologies for being out. Last week we didn't have a podcast. I did go on vacation to beautiful Dominican Republic on Sunday, just ahead of Hurricane Fiona, which absolutely wrecked the resort that I was staying at. It was quite interesting watching a building kind of fall apart outside our window as we sat hunkered down last Sunday night. So happy to be back in the USA. We did end up having a lovely vacation after the hurricane passed through. Now we come back and it looks like we got a hurricane again. It's going to hit Florida, it looks like, and going to give Atlanta a whole messy weekend.
Yeah, and of course, in a big upset, you never lost internet the whole time you're down there. You're sending me pictures. It's like, hey, like, everything's good here. Just dealing with a hurricane, but never lost internet, never lost electricity. So yeah, it's pretty nice thing that the Chamber of Commerce there could use to promote their tourism.
Yeah, I was absolutely 100% impressed with the infrastructure of the Dominican Republic. Never lost power, never lost internet. Had a leaky roof, as you know, half a ton of water, you know, dropping on us like every half hour. But yeah, it was a odd thing being in the middle of a hurricane and still, you know, texting lineups. And so, you know, I was in the middle of packing up to move to, because we were being evacuated to another place. And in the middle of it, you say, "Hey, Justin Henry Malloy was called up," and you and I had a conversation about that over Twitter. It was surreal.
Work never stops, but yeah, it's, you're definitely gonna have some stories to tell your grandkids when they're older.
So, speaking of Justin Henry Malloy, he and Dylan Dodd moved on up to Gwinnett for the final week plus of the regular season for them. Well, we're moving on up. It's kind of interesting. We haven't talked about the Arizona Fall League yet, but Justin Henry Malloy is kind of the showcase player for the Braves contingent there. Matt, what do you think this means maybe for Justin Henry Malloy and maybe what his role might be next year?
I don't think it's going to make for him to get on the opening day roster, but I think he will be very close. It might be a situation kind of like Michael Harris. He might be up within the first couple of months of the season. I mean, he's been spent time at three levels this season. He'll get, of course, he's only got about a week plus whatever couple games he's going to get in this week at AAA, and then he'll get that Arizona Fall League experience, but it's going to give him some really good experience against high level pitching. I think he'll be in the mix, but I don't think he'll make the squad. But like I said, it's just going to be about or weeks if needed. As soon as somebody goes down injured, it won't be a matter of, oh, we got to call up this quad A guy or just a body to fill up space. That they're going to have some actual depth at AAA. And I'm kind of wondering if they may work on him in another position in the Arizona Fall League too, because as of right now, he plays left field and nothing else. So, I mean, I'm kind of wondering if maybe they'll look at possibly another corner outfield spot to just kind of get some work in there. But definitely keep an eye on how things are going to go there. I know we're going to have other things to be looking at, especially since the bad part of the Arizona Fall League is it'll start next Monday for the first week of October, and then it stops just before Thanksgiving. But that'll be during the time of the MLB playoffs. So it's going to be a little bit overshadowed, but I think there's still going to be some good things to watch there.
Yeah, I think hopefully Atlanta will, as a whole, will be looking at something else besides the Arizona Fall League for almost that entire time.
Yeah, I would hope so.
So let's talk a little bit about the contingent. The other position player that's going, Cal Conley, who ended the season in High A Rome. So I thought this was an interesting choice. You know, he's not been to Double A, and usually, you know, historically, most of the guys that go to the Arizona Fall League have been mostly in that Double A range with maybe one High A guy, but they loosened restrictions on that last year. So Conley's going. He's a guy that I've been kind of hot and cold on all season, or actually since he was drafted. I think he has the potential to be a utility type guy in the majors if he can solidify his hit tool. And it will be very interesting to see him go up against higher level competition in the AFL.
Yeah, especially right now, the infield depth in the organization is pretty bad right now. So if he can make a kind of a name for himself there, I think it would go a long way towards getting him a spot at Double A next season. Yeah, in years past, I would think it would have been somebody like, say, Cade Bunnell, because he's already at Double A now. And last season, it was Luke Waddell in the same situation. So, yeah, it kind of follows that pattern of sending an infielder, a middle infielder type like that. Like I said, I mean, he hasn't even been at High A for all that long. So, it's going to be – it's a pretty nice it's not just a filler pick, I don't think. I think they've got plans for him, and they want to see what he can do against higher-level competition.
Yeah, and it'll also be interesting to see how they use him defensively. He's mostly played shortstop. He played a little bit of second base for Augusta when he was down there, but has mostly been shortstop. I think almost 100% been shortstop for Rome. So if they move him around a little bit, they may be looking at him maybe as in that utility role long term. But if he plays just shortstop, that tells you something too. So we'll see. The rest of the contingent are pitchers. The interesting one, Alan Winans, who was a Rule 5 draftee, going after having a really nice end of the season run with Mississippi. So is Alan Winans a guy?
I don't think he's a guy, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes. There's quite a line ahead of him, but he's potentially interesting. I mean, they got him as a minor league Rule 5 pick this past offseason. He pitched a little bit for Gwinnett early in the season to not no success there, but ended up getting hurt, worked his way back up. I think, believe he threw a little bit in complex ball and then worked his way back up to Double-A. But in he made 8 starts for Mississippi, covering 44 and a third innings, had a 2.44 ERA. And a FIP of just over 3. So, I mean, there's potentially something here. I mean, he's 27 years old, so he's an older player. Not considered him a prospect by any means. But I think he could be like a guy who could possibly head the Mississippi rotation next season, because you got a lot of pitchers at the high. They're going to be at Gwinnett, and there's a good number of pitchers that are going to be lower, but there's not going to be a whole lot to start off with at Mississippi next season. And I think Winans will fill a pretty solid role there.
Bryce Elder just completed his 8th shutout inning. He was getting high fives in the dugout, though, so I think that might be it for him tonight.
Hey, he's only at 96 pitches. He can get three outs on 3 pitches and get his Maddox out of it.
Oh, God. All right, so wow, that would be awesome. Speaking of guys that usually probably wouldn't be on this, the next 3 guys are pitchers that all ended the season at High A Rome. So again, kind of going maybe a step down from the usual AFL group. It's Jose Mantilla, Alex Siegel, and Austin Smith. All of them relievers, all of them fairly successful this year. Alex Siegel coming back from injury, and Jose Mantilla too. Both of them kind of coming back from injury and probably could use the innings. Austin Smith, though, pitched almost the entire season. He actually has, I think he led Rome in appearances. So I'm a little surprised to see him continue in the AFL.
Yeah, he got 45 appearances in this season. So I think he's the most highly regarded of the 3 relievers going as of right now. I mean, he was at least a discussion to make our upcoming top 30 list. I mean, obviously he's not going to be on it, but we talked about him a fair amount. But I think he's the best shot of the 3 of having success there. Now, all 3 kind of have fallen in the same range. Like I said, they were all at Rome to finish out the season. They're all kind of falling that 23, 24 year old range. So there's a pretty good possibility all 3 of these pitchers start next season at Mississippi, so it'd be nice to get them some experience and get some higher level competition to see how they do going in.
And then our final AFL contribution is the manager of the Scottsdale Scorpions, our very own Gwinnett Stripers skipper, Matt Tuiasosopo. So all these guys will be under the tutelage of Matt, and he's definitely kind of an up-and-coming name in the ranks of minor league managers.
Now, if the Braves wanted some content, they should get Tuiasosopo and Justin Henry Molloy, put them in a convertible, and send them on a cross-country trip to Arizona and film it and put it out for content next year.
I'd watch it.
I would, too.
Hey, getting back to what we were discussing kind of at the beginning of this, let's talk about starting pitchers. So obviously right now the depth has taken a little bit of hit with Strider being on the injured list, and also at Gwinnett kind of all at once. We previously had Ian Anderson get injured. He's likely out for the playoffs. Mike Soroka with some elbow inflammation, which quite frankly, it's not a surprise. It's very common for pitchers that have had a long layoff to have some inflammation like that. So he's out for the playoffs. And Freddie Tarnock also going on the injured list. I don't know what that's for or the severity of it. Maybe he'll be available as an emergency arm for the playoffs or not. I know it's talking about playoff stuff like this, but remember, Kyle Wright was not on any of the postseason rosters until the World Series. So you never know who's going to be nabbed for emergency duty. So those three arms, let's just assume right now that Tarnock is out. Those three arms are out. It's still a lot of pitching. And going into 2023, even if we don't sign anybody, we're still looking at a potential rotation of Max Fried and Kyle Wright and Spencer Strider and maybe something like Mike Soroka and Ian Anderson. And that's assuming, and we should not assume, but let's just say for sake of argument, we don't sign anybody else and we don't pick up the option on Charlie Morton and Jake Odorizzi doesn't select his player option. So that doesn't include Bryce Elder. It doesn't include Kyle Muller. That would also be in this mix. Then you're talking about Jared Schuster right underneath that, Freddie Tarnock.
Darius Vines.
Darius Vines. And then, Dylan Dodd just came up to Gwinnett. Presumably he would like to start the season in Gwinnett next season. Then you got the mysterious Alan Winans, and things like that. So,
yeah, and Alan Grangell, who may not be, he might not have earned his way up to Gwinnett, but he is on the 40-man roster.
That's right. So this is a lot of arms. So the question I have for you, Matt, is given the lack of depth of our prospects right now, and you and I are in the midst of working on our top 30 list, so this is probably just on our minds a little bit, but looking at the list and seeing Vaughn Grissom, of course, graduate, Bryce Elder and Kyle Muller possibly could graduate before the end of the season, this list is quite frankly pretty bad. And we've joked all season about the 30th ranked Braves and kind of taking that as a badge of honor. But the reality is we don't want to have a farm system kind of this dry. So what do you think is the odds of possibly taking some of this high-end pitching talent and trading it out for lower level, higher upside prospects?
I think you almost have to at this point. I think they had a similar problem last season, but not to this extent. I think it was like, oh, you could fill out a major league rotation and a triple A rotation. You could do both now, and you'll still have pitchers left over. I imagine, like you said, Fried, Strider, and Wright are the three that are absolutely locked in for next season. Like I said, we don't know what's going to happen with Morton or Odorizzi. I don't see them picking up Charlie Morton's $20 million option, but I think they could possibly renegotiate it, say, a $10 to $12 million option. Or sure. A one-year deal. That's if he even decides to come back. He may decide, I've had enough. I'm heading off to Florida with my family. I'm retiring. So that's an option as well. But let's say if they decide to bring him back in that area, that adds another list. Because I think we have something like 14 pitchers right now, starting pitchers that are AAA to MLB quality that are on the 40-man roster. that's a pretty good chunk of your roster filled in there already. And I mean, Jake Odorizzi, it's not a sure thing that he's not going to pick up his player option. What happens if he does? I mean, you're kind of stuck with a guy making $12.5 million next season. You got to figure out what to do with.
Trade him.
Yeah. that's definitely an option. Even if you don't get much of anything for him, maybe you can at least dump a big chunk of the payroll. But and Muller and definitely Bryce Elder and to some degree, Kyle Muller as well, have shown that it's put up or shut up time. I mean, Bryce Elder has definitely shown he's earned a shot at MLB rotation. Kyle Muller has shown that he deserves a shot at an MLB rotation, whether it's going to be here or elsewhere. But are those the guys you want to trade, or do you want to keep those guys as your depth and possibly deal from, let's say, the Dylan Dodds or Darius Vineses of the world? And like we're talking about the position, I mean, just not want to get too far ahead of ourselves on the top 30 list, but there were not a lot of position players, even in the top, let's say, dozen players that we're looking at so far. it's pretty bad. Justin Henry Molloy is obviously going to be well up there, but after that, it's pretty far until you get to another position player.
Hey, speaking of Bryce Elder, he's about to pitch the ninth inning for the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, goodness.
He is at 96 pitches and will be going for possibly the first complete game by an Atlanta Braves pitcher this season.
Just as everyone predicted.
Wow. He's looked great tonight. I mean, and this has been, I hate to digress so much, but he's really just been kind of classic Bryce Elder, that from, you know, the guy that we, you know, opened our eyes so much last season, that we've only seen kind of in fits and starts for most of this year, just getting a ton of ground balls, making a big pitch when he needs to. It's been really fun to watch tonight.
Yeah, it's not the guy we saw earlier this season where he's making his starts and walking, let's say, four hitters in four innings. I mean, that's not the Bryce Elder we saw at all last year. This is more the guy we saw working his way up the organization. He's not striking out as many as he did during the minor leagues. I mean, he would have minor league starts last year. He'd strike out 8 to 10 hitters. I mean, I think he's only got four going into the ninth inning tonight. But, yeah, this is definitely a guy that we're keeping an eye on. I mean, I know he's kind of facing off against mostly bottom feeders. I don't think they would have, like, put him up against the Mets or Dodgers or anything like that. But, I mean, it's got to give him some confidence and building up his stock towards next season, whether they choose to use him in the back end of the rotation or possibly look to deal him for some position player depth.
And Elder strikes out the first batter he sees, so that's strikeout number 5, I think. All right, well, yeah, and so getting back to what we were discussing, I'm totally distracted by this game. I think some of the guys that we're talking about, obviously I think they're eventually going to be relievers. I think Darius Vines, just to mention someone that you brought up, I think he could get major league hitters out in short stints right now. I think his stuff is that good. If they wanted to make him a reliever, he could be in the bullpen next year. And I think probably the same for Freddie Tarnock. So some of these guys are going to end up as relievers. We've already seen guys that had made starts in the minor leagues, like Victor Vodnik and William Woods. They have 100% moved on to the relief and will presumably be relief options for Atlanta next year. And you know, Woods, I think may be up later this week. So who knows? He may make the postseason roster. There's no telling. But I think at some point, and I think this will be an interesting offseason for this, the Braves are going to have to make some decisions here. And considering I think they've had a good draft, I think August is going to be very interesting next year. And Bryce Elder had his second out. He is one out away. That is his sixth strikeout on the evening. Holy cow. All right. Totally distracted. I apologize. They're going to have to make decisions. And considering the lack of depth really in that middle part of this organization, you got these top-heavy pitchers. You got kind of some guys that you can hope and pray on in the bottom with the last international group, and you got a new international group coming in January, and a pretty good draft, what we think is a pretty good draft from 2022. I don't see them able to make, and the game's over. Complete game for Bryce Elder.
First rookie with a complete game shutout since 1990.
Wow. One walk, 6 strikeouts, 9 innings, 106 pitches for Bryce Elder. I love it. God, I love it.
Same here. And and as far as his prospect status going in, we were kind of like, is he going to make it off the prospect list? He needs to pitch an inning and a third the rest of the season to get there, and it's very likely he'll get a start next week against the Marlins. So.
Our poor prospect list. It's turning into Swiss cheese,
but in a good way. This is how you want to see it happen.
Yes, absolutely.
Oscar, obviously he's going to be out all next season after his Tommy John surgery. But at least for the offseason, they have to carry him on the 40-man roster. He's going to be taking up the spot. And Alan Rangel, he's on the 40-man roster. He definitely has not earned his way into the AAA rotation with all the depth there. So do they start him as a starting pitcher for a second consecutive year at Mississippi and have him on the 40-man roster? I kind of wonder if either you're looking at putting him in the bullpen or you're looking at his possible trade bait to kind of help build up some position player depth. So that's going to be a lot of questions in the offseason. And that's not even counting, let's say, hey, did they sign somebody? Let's say, I mean, it's very unlikely, but I mean, we've been hearing the name date Jacob DeGrom popping up for months now. Then depending on what happens with Morton or Odorizzi, I mean, you're going to have to be between 15 to 17 starting pitchers possibly on the 40-man roster. And that's when space starts getting a little tight.
Yeah, the phrase, there's no such thing as too much pitching, is very much true. But you can't have too much pitching on the 40-man roster. You know,
yeah. Just,
you really shouldn't have that much many roster spots devoted to just one position at all, in even starting pitching. So, yeah, I think there's going to be some movement there. I can see maybe one or two of these guys bundled up for a trade for prospects. And we're talking prospects. I mean, obviously they could make a move to bolster the major league roster as well. But the fact is there's just not a lot of holes in this roster, and it's awesome. And but where would you trade for? You know, you've got pretty much the entire infield locked up. You got two good strong catchers. Actually, you got three
because Manny
Pena will be back. You got Acuna in right. You got Michael Harrison center, and you got, you know, about three or four possibilities in left. That include Justin Henry Molloy, but you know, Marcell Ozuna still theoretically is on the roster for next year. Eddie Rosario definitely is. You know, they'll probably sign a right-handed hitter for the outfield too, or maybe re-sign Grossman or Duvall. I mean, there's lots of ways they could go there. But where do you add?
I hope it's not a matter of packaging one or two of these pitchers with Marcell Ozuna just to dump his contract. Just eat the contract.
Yeah, that seems a very non-Anthopoulos move.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I mean, he does not like giving up assets for nothing. Now, back when he first started on the job and you had the high-priced contracts to get rid of, that was a different story. But this is a world championship contending club. That's not the kind of move you want to be making now. They desperately need some position player depth in case players do go down again next season, because you're not going to be able to go pluck down a Michael Harris or a Vaughn Grissom again next season with the, I mean, those are top 100 prospects, and they took chances on those guys and those worked out. But I mean, look at what's going to be at high A, double A, triple A next season. Those guys aren't going to be there. Now you will have some guys pop. Let's say Jesse Franklin, he'll be coming back from injury next season. So, I mean, possibly he could develop into something, but I mean, look around at the rest of the organization right now. They need position player depth in the worst way.
Yeah, but it's really putting all your chips on just a few guys right now. And none of them, quite frankly, are of the caliber or pedigree of Grissom and Harris, you know, or other guys that they've brought up over the last few years, certainly. Like, you know, certainly not Austin Riley and, you know, Ronald Acuna, that kind of player. It doesn't exist right now in the minor league. So. All right, you want to move on to Gwinnett?
Yeah, Gwinnett, I mean, they're just playing out the string here. I mean, they finished off their last road trip of the season in Memphis. It's interesting promotion with Justin Henry Molloy. It was announced right after the end of the Mississippi season that he had moved on to Gwinnett, which actually worked out pretty well from a travel standpoint, because they played their last home game at Mississippi, and Gwinnett was playing in Memphis. That's a 3-hour drive, so he got to join the team pretty quickly and get started, and he started playing immediately. Had a pretty solid week in his first week at Gwinnett. He was 4 out of 15. Doesn't sound like, I mean, he only hit 267 for the week, but he did as usual. He walked five times. Had a sacrifice fly. Didn't strike out a whole lot. I mean, he had 20 plate appearances, only struck out four times. He did have a home run in his first game at Gwinnett, and it was so that got him off to a pretty nice start. But it just kind of gets feet wet. He's got the three games he's going to play this week at home to finish off the Gwinnett season. Then he'll head off to the AFL. But pretty nice start there for Justin Henry Malloy. There's not a lot else to talk about with the roster. It's a bunch of these organizational guys that have been around most of the season. Taylor Motter had a good week. He was 5-for-18, a double home run, 5 RBI. Jake Marisnik had a pretty nice week. He was 9-for-27, had 4 stolen bases, a couple of outfield assists, just kind of keeping the seat warm in case he's needed at the major league level at some point. Because, I mean, if something happens and outfielder gets hurt in the playoffs, Marisnik may very well be the next guy up.
I think he's making the roster still.
Let's put it this way. He's a better player right now than Guillermo Heredia. So it's definitely a possibility. It would just be a matter of making room for him on the 40-man roster. Now, looking at the starting rotation, they had some good starts this week. Freddie Tarnock, they kind of did their little five-and-dive thing with him. Gave up just one run over 5 innings. Pitched very well, only threw 73 pitches, which for Tarnock, he hasn't been the most efficient pitcher at times this season, but he did very well in his start this past week. Jared Schuster had a spectacular start this week. Is his best start as in AAA. Just gave up. He gave up a 2-run homer, but that was all he gave up. He only gave up 2 hits and a walk, all striking out 10 over 7 innings, and he only threw 85 pitches in those 7 innings. So it's a really, really good way to possibly wrap up the season. I'm not sure if he'll get a start this week, but a really nice way to end it if that is it for him. Darius Vines had a quality start. It wasn't great. 3 runs over 6 innings, 5 hits, 4 walks, struck out 7. So, but I mean, he's kind of just been plodding along here, but he's doing very well in his time at AAA. And obviously, we talked about him earlier that he'll be Rule 5 eligible this offseason, so he'll be joining the 40-man roster here over the next couple of months. Dylan Dodd in his first start at AAA, the numbers are okay. 6 2/3 innings, 3 hits, 5 runs, struck out 7, walked just 1, but most of the damage came late. I mean, they probably could have taken him out of inning before, but they wanted to stretch him out, see how he did, and they pushed him all the way up to 97 pitches in his first start at AAA. So it's a really nice opening start for Dylan Dodd, and they could very much be a candidate to make that Gwinnett rotation next season. Now, the guy who didn't have a great start, in fact, we'll be seeing him in Atlanta very soon, Kyle Muller, gave up 5 runs over 6 innings, a couple of home runs. He did strike out 9. But not the best start for Muller. He's had a couple of little rougher starts here lately, but they've been very manageable, and hopefully that's what we'll see from him in Atlanta tomorrow and give him some innings. Of course, now they've got a pretty good bullpen availability here with Bryce Elder pitching a complete game shutout tonight, so hopefully they won't need to burn all that depth tomorrow. In the bullpen, the aforementioned William Woods, he pitched well this week, had 2 appearances covering 2 2/3 scoreless innings. Connor Johnstone had a nice outing in relief, and Victor Vodnik also had one as well. He only pitched once during the week, but he pitched a scoreless inning and struck out 3 and earned a save. So nice work from Victor Vodnik.
Yeah, really happy to see Woods and Vodnik kind of do well down the stretch here. I think They'll get very, very close looks in spring training, I think.
Yeah, and then you got to wonder about the like the bullpen here with Kirby Yates going out, that they might possibly look, hey, we might need another right-hander of the bullpen. Could William Woods be that guy?
Yep. So Bryce Elder, the first rookie to throw a complete game shutout for the Braves since 1990, when right-hander Paul Merrick tossed a 4-hitter to beat Houston. Now I consider myself a pretty hardcore Braves fan. For example, I have a podcast about the Braves. I've never heard of Paul Merrick.
I haven't either. The first name that came up to mind for me was Stephen Merrick, who was involved in the Mark Teixeira trade.
Yes, that was my thought too. And I was like, no, wait, he never actually pitched for Atlanta. Nope, this is Paul Merrick, M-A-R-A-K. Wherever Paul Merrick is now, hopefully he pours one out for the being the last rookie before tonight to pitch a complete game shutout for the Atlanta Braves.
He's probably been telling that story for 32 years.
his claim to fame, except nobody remembers it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Anything else you want to talk about, Matt?
No, I think that's a pretty good. I mean, that kind of give everybody kind of a primer for the offseason. It's kind of start thinking about these the pitching situation, because I mean they're not going to stand pat this offseason in Atlanta. I mean, they obviously got a couple big spots to fill, particularly figuring out what's going to happen at shortstop. But as you see, they've got to figure some things out in the starting pitching department. It's not because there's not any starting pitching. It's because, if anything, there's too much.
Yeah. So next week, obviously, we'll just have like three games. We're not even doing the Monday Farm Report on the website next week. But we'll be back with a podcast. There's something that we need to take care of that we need to report on next week, Matt. And that is, of course, our fantasy minor league baseball draft.
Oh, no.
We need to see who came out on top on that. I have no idea, by the way.
I'm probably going to get fined and ticketed because of the dumpster fire that my team is likely looking like.
I don't even remember who's on our teams, dude.
I don't either.
So join us next week as we rediscover the teams that we drafted back in the spring and find out which of us won. And, of course, we'll talk about the opening of the Arizona Fall League and the Major League regular season wraps up. And we'll maybe talk hopefully a little playoff. Certainly after this Mets series, we'll certainly have a better idea of what's in store with playoffs, if we're going to play a first round or not.
Yeah, and as you heard at the top of the show that we had a graduation ceremony this week, there could be one, possibly two ceremonies next week.
Well, you will certainly not want to miss that, loyal listeners.
Because I don't know if we've ever had a double graduation ceremony before, but it could happen.
Oh, yeah, the last one before this, Michael Harris and Dylan Lee, of course.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting about Dylan Lee for some reason. It just never seemed like he was a rookie.
Well, he doesn't look like one, does he? He looks like a guy that's been through the wars.
Yeah, he's not an old guy by any means, but he looks like he's like in his mid-30s. He's seen some stuff, man.
Yeah. All right. I think we're seeing a little giddy. I think it's the complete game.
Yeah, we don't see it very often, but we're definitely going to take advantage and celebrate this occasion.
All right. I hope everybody has a great and hopefully hurricane-free week.
All right, have a good one.
Tell us all a story about how it used to be. Make it up and then write it down, just like history. About Goldilocks and the Three Bears, nature in the crosshairs, about how we all ascended from the deep green sea. When it's not too hot, not too cold, not too meek, not too bold, when it's just right, we have sunlight, then we're home. Finally home. Home in the land of the homeless. Finally home. Whoa! Whispers, a shadow of a horse, faces painted black in sorrow and remorse. White cloud, black crow, crucifix and arrow. The oldest silence speaks the loudest under the deep green sea. When speech becomes a crime, silence leads the spirit over the bridge of time. Over the bridge of time. I'm walking with my family and the road begins to climb. And it's, oh, 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 Lord, how we gonna pray? The crazy angel voices all night till it's a new day. watching, peaceful as a hurricane, peaceful as a hurricane. Peaceful as a hurricane, peaceful as a hurricane, peaceful as a hurricane. Peaceful as a hurricane. You want to be a leader, you want to change the game. Turn your back on money, walk away from fame. You want to be a missionary, you got that missionary zeal. Let a stranger change your life, how's that make you feel? You want to be a writer, you don't know how or when. Find a quiet place, use a humble pen. You want to talk, talk, talk about it all night. Spark about the ocean and the atmosphere. Well, I've been away for a long time. Looks like a mess around here. And I'll be away for a long time. So here's how the story goes. There was an old woman who lived in shoes. She was baking a cinnamon pie. She fell asleep in a washing machine.